In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The whole idea of being a disciple of Christ Jesus is that your way of thinking will be like his way of thinking. There's no possible way for that to happen unless you are baptized into his name, catechized in his word, and kept by the Holy Spirit from your own way of thinking. The way of thinking you inherited from the first Adam, which goes something like this. Might makes right. Follow your heart. Don't let anyone or anything else run your life but you. You have no one else to rely on but yourself. And you can do it if you just believe in yourself. No, not at all. The whole idea of being a disciple of Christ Jesus, and he has made you his disciple, is first to reject all those things. You are not the subject of a cheerleading exercise or a brainwashing exercise to whip you into a frame of mind and obedience that either pleases yourself or anyone else outside of you. You are the subject of God's mercy in Christ Jesus, bestowed upon you by virtue of his passion, that is, his innocent sufferings and death as your substitute, which he gladly and freely attributes to you. And so it happens that you are enjoined and encouraged to have a way of thinking that does not exalt itself, but empties itself and humbles itself. And as I said, there's no possible way for that to happen unless you are baptized into his name, catechized in his word, and kept by the Holy Spirit from your own way of thinking. This day, the Holy Spirit has placed into your hearing the entire passion of Christ Jesus for you, as written by the Holy Spirit through the evangelist St. Matthew. Without question, it is the longest gospel reading you'll ever hear on a given Sunday, and for good reason, because it lays before you precisely what is involved with having a way of thinking day in and day out, even when you're asleep, a way of thinking that comports with the one who shed his precious blood for you upon a shameful cross, who emptied himself for you. Let us consider in broad strokes some of the ways of thinking that thread through this gospel reading as penned through St. Matthew, and then distill the whole thing down into its essence, which can be said in only 7 words. The first way of thinking comes by word of Christ Jesus himself to his disciples and to you who are his disciples today. You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming and the Son of Man is to be handed over for crucifixion. Here is set before you a summary of all that is about to take place. And he said it before, didn't he? But did the disciples really know? You see, what is happening here is something that even angels marvel over, a mystery hidden throughout the ages. And yet Christ Jesus says plainly and exactly, this is what is going to happen. And it is connected to God's great deliverance of his people Israel from under the hand of Pharaoh. And now his great deliverance will save all who believe in his name from sin and from death, and from the ravages of Satan. So this way of thinking, it's true, it's plain, it's forthright. It states precisely why Christ Jesus took upon himself your nature, namely so that he would be crucified at Passover. It is as straightforward as can be. And so that way of thinking must be a way of thinking for you to take up as well. Confess his name. Confess him as the one who has been crucified for your sin and the sin of the world, just as he said. Although he doesn't make the connection here, does he? He doesn't say, we'll be crucified for the sin of the world. He only says, he will be crucified. We cannot get the idea that Christ Jesus was the first person ever to be crucified or the last one. This form of cruel death was widely practiced at the time and has been practiced even in recent times. But only once did a crucifixion take place whereby the forgiveness of sins and everlasting life were obtained through the shedding of the innocent blood of one man, the Son of Man, Christ Jesus, whose living body and blood will enter into your mouth and your body this day. And isn't it interesting that Jesus does not say, I will be crucified, but he says, the Son of Man will be crucified. He refers to himself, yes, but he does so in a manner that points to his participation in your flesh and blood. And then look at this. As he is adjured by the high priest Caiaphas, and as he hangs on the cross, bleeding with arms stretched out, what is he called? The Son of God. He called himself the Son of God. Well, which is it? Son of Man, as he says of himself, or Son of God, as he also says of himself, and others say he says of himself? Which is it? Well, you know, it is both. For this is true God begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man born of the Virgin Mary who is hanging on the cross for you. It is in this way and this way only that your sin can be taken away. And it has been, including the sin of not having the same mind, the same way of thinking, the not having the same attitude which is in Christ Jesus. Well, with this summary spoken by Christ Jesus, who expressly informs you of his coming sufferings and death, here are some other ways of thinking that come about. The intrigue on the part of the chief priests and the elders who plotted the death of the most innocent man ever born of woman. The duplicity of those same men who want to kill an innocent man, but want to do it secretly so they don't stir up the population. The misguided counsel of the disciples who chided the woman who anointed Jesus for his burial, virtue signaling about the poor. The conniving of Judas, who was probably most vocal about this waste of perfume, and then accepted 30 pieces of silver in exchange for the life of his innocent rabbi. The blind confidence of Peter and all the disciples, who said that no matter what happens, they're willing to go to their deaths rather than stand down in defense of their rabbi. The lethargy of Peter, James, and John in the garden, whose eyes were so tired and heavy they could not even watch or pray while the Son of Man and Son of God is about to lay down his life for them. The hasty violence of Peter, who reached out and drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. The false witness solicited by the chief priests and the whole council and delivered by many who came forward for just that purpose. The brutality of those who spat in his face, beat him with their fists, and forced a crown of thorns upon his brow, and mocked him to no end. The warped and profane release of a known murderer, Barabbas, in exchange for the execution of an innocent man. The gross injustice of a governor sitting on the seat of justice and meting out condemnation for the most innocent man who ever inhabited flesh and blood. And to top it off, the absolute madness, the fickleness of a population that one day cries out, Hosanna to the Son of David. Son of David, Son of Man, Son of God. He is all of these and more, for all things were made in him and through him. And then only a day or two later, what do they cry out? Crucify him. It's all there. It's all there, and there's more. You may say that that's not what you're like, that you don't have that kind of mindset, that you'd never do such a thing, that your attitude is above all that you do not have that way of thinking. But if so, you are lying, both to yourself and to your Creator. All of those characteristics and attitudes belong to you as one whose flesh is rife with the sin of the first Adam. But you know what? Christ Jesus has an attitude and is of a mind and has a way of thinking that none of those things, none of those sins would ever stop him from gladly laying down his life for you in obedience to his Father, who together in the Holy Spirit love you to the very last, even while you were yet his worst enemy. And that is what the Passion of Christ Jesus is all about, Charlie Brown. His life given up for your transgressions. He will be abandoned by his closest friends. He is abandoned by the common citizenry among whom he dwelt. He is abandoned by his church and the church leaders. He is abandoned by the very government that should have been there to protect him from injustice. And he is abandoned by God because he was made to be sin, your sin. But this is one thing he will not do. He will not abandon you. In fact, it is precisely for you that he did this, so that your sin and iniquity would not stand before God's judgment, as he took that punishment as your substitute in your stead. And as I said earlier, this whole thing can be distilled into a mere 7 words, and here they are. I forgive you all your sins. I guess I can't count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. No, I forgive you all of your sins. That's the entire essence of this gospel of St. Matthew placed into your hearing this day. And that is the entire essence of the apostolic ministry as it has been established for you here in this place. And you know that he has made a way for what he has done upon the cross for you to be delivered to you by hearing and by the washing of regeneration and by the Holy Supper, which will bless and sustain you from now until your baptism is complete and you see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.